Welcome to Borderless Voices podcast, presented by FCJ Refugee Center. Episode number 8, part 2, Canada Emergency Response Benefit, CERB, Ontario Works and OTSP, Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program, and Temporary Foreign Worker, New Requirements Upon Arrival in Canada, with Rachel Lake, Staff Lawyer in Waterloo Region Community Legal Services.
It's me, Loli Rico. I'm the co-director of the FCJ Refugee Center, and I'm in charge more on the settlement and also with the director of the anti-human trafficking program. We welcome Rachel Lake.
So applying for the CERB, you are going to either apply online through your My Service Canada account or your CRA account. There's screening questions when you go to apply. There's just two quick questions that help you determine whether you're going to apply through your Service Canada account or your CRA account. If you don't have access to the internet or you're not very technically savvy, you can also apply by phone. It's an automated system. I've provided the number there. Both systems are open from 6 a.m. to 3 a.m. 7 days a week since April 6th, and you're supposed to apply on the designated weekday. So just if you're born in the first 3 months of the year, you're going to apply Monday, so on and so forth. It's just a way for them to have not overwhelmed the application system. And then anyone can apply on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So just to note, if you were not aware of CERB or you know somebody who is not aware of the CERB and you think, oh, I would have qualified for that back in March, you can apply late for the benefit periods. The last date that you would be able to retroactively apply is December 2nd, 2020. But always, you know, apply as soon as possible for the benefits. But it is nice that they've provided a bit of leeway for anyone who might not have been aware, who might have had troubles accessing the application system when the CERB first came out. So I just wanted to address expired work permits. So if you're here on a work permit and that work permit expired, but you applied to renew your work permit before it expired, then you would benefit from what we call in Canada implied immigration status while you wait for your new work permit. So you would still have the ability to work until a decision is made on the renewal of your work permit. But you would still have to apply to the CRA to update your temporary SIN number. So just if you are here on a temporary work permit, you're trying to apply for CERB, you're running into problems, this might be part of the problem, is that your temporary SIN might have expired with your work permit, and you might have to contact the CRA to get a new temporary SIN or reactivate your temporary SIN number once you get your new work permit. So if anybody has questions of that, certainly contact your local legal clinic. So the CERB is generally paid through direct deposit, which you receive the money quite quickly, or a check if you don't have direct deposit within 10 days. You're either going to get $1,000 every 2 weeks, or you're going to get the $2,000 once every 4 weeks. And just again, don't forget to report and reapply as required. Multiple people in a household can access the CERB so long as everyone qualifies. So if both spouses were working and both are unable to work any longer because of COVID, then both people could apply for and receive the CERB at the same time. It's not limited to one person in a household. Also, if there's you know, both spouses and an adult child, the adult child would also be able to apply in their own right and receive the CERB. You know, so three or four or five people could be accessing the CERB in the same household. They have tried to make the application process very simple. So generally, you do not have to submit documents at this time, but likely in the future, they're going to be verifying everybody's eligibility for the CERB. So you may have to provide documents in the future. So just be aware of that. And particularly if you are sick with COVID-19, you do not have to go get a medical certificate from your doctor or anything like that. You can just apply for the CERB. Just stay home and do your application. You also don't need your record of employment to apply at this time. So at the beginning of when the CERB came out, there were a lot of issues with people applying for the benefit twice. So some people were applying both through the CRA and through My Service Canada, but you're only entitled to receive the CERB from one source once in a benefit period. So if you have applied or you've received the CERB twice for the same benefit period, or you think you've maybe received it in error, or you've realized that you did not make $5,000 in employment income in 2019 or in the last 12 months, something like that, then, you know, you will have to repay the money that you were not entitled to receive. So I recommend people sort of monitor their bank accounts, make sure, you know, if you're entitled to one payment has gone in. If there's two payments that have gone in, then, you know, I recommend setting aside the money that you're wondering where that came from or why you received it twice. And potentially, I mean, you could contact the CRA, or if you just want to repay that in good faith, there's now a link on the Service Canada website in all the information for the CERB that explains how you can repay double payments or payments that you were not entitled to receive. Of course, if you do have questions about what you were entitled to receive, contact your local legal clinic and speak to somebody for individualized advice. So I've already spoken about, basically, if you've received all 16 weeks of the CERB and you're still not eligible or you're still not able to find work because of COVID-19, then you'll be able to apply for EI regular sickness benefits once those benefits have expired. And it's supposed to be without penalty for having received the CERB. So basically, that just means that the way that EI is calculated based on hours that you worked and termination dates and everything. I'm not sure exactly how that's all going to work, but they've said that applicants should not be penalized for having received the CERB. So hopefully that will be fine when you go to apply for it. As I said, if you're already receiving EI regular sick benefits, you cannot also receive the CERB. And if you were laid off at some point after March 15th, or you became sick for any reason after March 15th, and you applied through the EI system, your applications automatically can be going to be converted into a CERB application. You do not have to contact the CRA to make that request or EI. It'll just be automatically converted to a CERB application. So the other employment insurance benefits, such as EI maternity, parental leave, and caregiver benefits, those are all still available, and you can still apply normally for those benefits through the EI application system. But I suppose, you know, as of July 4th, 2020, it's possible that as of that date, that's the earliest that people might have maxed out their 16 weeks of CERB and will be applying for regular or EI sickness benefits at that point. It'll just be interesting to see how those people who apply at that point, how that will be treated. Canada also introduced an emergency benefit for students. The student benefit, it's less than the CERB, only $12.50 per month for the 16 weeks. But if you do have dependents, like children or dependents, like a spouse with a disability who's not able to work, or you are a person with a disability, then you would indicate that and you'll receive a top-up of up to $2,000 per month if you have dependents or a person with a disability. Again, you're not eligible to receive the student benefit if you're already receiving the CERB or EI. And the student benefit is not available to international students or refugee claimants. So in order to be eligible for the student benefit, you must be a citizen, a permanent resident, an Indian as defined in the Indian Act, or a protected person. So you must have already been found to be a protected person. So if you're a refugee claimant and you've submitted your claim and you're still awaiting your hearing before the Refugee Protection Division, then you're not going to qualify for this benefit, unfortunately. You still might qualify for the CERB if you were legally entitled to work in Canada. The same with international students. If you are an international student, you had a work permit, then you would probably still qualify for the CERB, but you would not qualify for the student benefit. The student benefit is available to graduating high school students who are enrolled in a post-secondary program that begins before February 1st, 2021, or students who are enrolled in post-secondary educational program that's at least 12 weeks in duration that leads to a degree, diploma, or certificate. And also students who completed or ended their post-secondary studies in December 2019 or later, and who are unable to work, cannot find work, or earn less than $1,000 in employment income during each benefit period. Those are the folks who will qualify. For the student benefit, if you are able to work, you are expected to be looking for work. So it's very important that you keep track of your job search activities. For this benefit, you would apply through the CRA, and just like the CERB, you would have to apply during each benefit period. So social assistance in Ontario, I'm talking about Ontario Works and the Ontario Disability Support Program. So generally, visitors and tourists are not able to access social assistance in Ontario. Otherwise, you can apply online or over the phone. So if you're if you're stuck in Ontario because you could not get back to your home country and you're here on a visitor or tourist visa and you have no other funds, then I would recommend contacting your local Ontario Works office to submit an application for social assistance. It's certainly a program of last resort, and you're expected to rely on all other available sources of income before you apply for OW and ODSP. I did want to briefly just talk about their emergency assistance benefit, if not for the benefit of anybody who they might know who are on OW and ODSP. There is what's called the emergency assistance benefit available through OW and ODSP. It provides $100 for single people and $200 for families. And usually you were only able to apply for this benefit once every 6 months. Now you can apply for it more often than once every 6 months. it's available for a longer period without having to reapply for it. Basically, at this point, OW and ODSP workers are not automatically giving this benefit to folks. You have to call your caseworker and request that benefit. So if you are on OW or ODSP, or you know somebody who is and they haven't received any extra money, then definitely contact their caseworker right away and ask about receiving the emergency assistance benefit. The last thing I wanted to cover today is just some of the new requirements for seasonal agricultural workers and temporary foreign workers who are arriving in Canada. Basically, the government has imposed a rule stating that all seasonal agricultural workers and temporary foreign workers must be quarantined for 14 days when they arrive in Canada. And it's the employers who are obligated to provide adequate accommodations and provisions for safe quarantine. The employer is also obligated to pay quarantined workers during the 14-day period of quarantine, but they're only obligated to pay workers for 30 hours per week during quarantine, as opposed to 40 hours or whatever other previously agreed upon number of hours per week. So if you agreed that you'd be doing a 40-hour work week, unfortunately, during the period of quarantine, you're only going to get 30 hours of pay. Also, workers are not supposed to work during that period of 14 days. So the federal government is providing $1,500 per worker to employers to assist with wages, accommodations, and supplies during the 14-day quarantine. And the funds are supposed to be contingent on the employers following public health guidelines and providing, you know, actual appropriate accommodations and supports during quarantine. Obviously, there's always going to be issues with enforcement. The government allegedly has, you know, investigative powers, and but they are reliant. I mean, they're reliant on an employee reporting their employer through an online investigation tool that is anonymous and confidential. It's obviously very important that these regulations have been put into place to protect both the public and workers who are arriving in Canada for the season. But certainly if your employer is not following these guidelines, then you can certainly report them through the online reporting tool. So, I mean, it's just the same online reporting tool that has existed for a number of years for reporting any issues that seasonal agricultural workers or temporary foreign workers have with their employers. So it's an online reporting tool that is available in six languages, and you can just report online through that system, and it is anonymous and confidential. But yeah, the enforcement, it's the same issues that have existed for a long time in terms of, you know, ensuring that employers are treating their workers properly. But it is good that these measures have been implemented.